Welcome to the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast, a production of the Dr. James Dobson Policy Center with your host, Gary Bauer. I'm Roger Marsh, and on today's edition of the podcast, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to get into a conversation about Christian citizenship, featuring Gary Bauer and his guest, John Stemberger, an attorney with the Liberty Council. Now, when you think about what it means to be an active citizen, you often wonder, how can one person or a small group of people actually make a change? Oh, sure, the Bible tells us the story of David versus Goliath, or how Gideon gathered a small army to fight the Midianites. Even though the Israelites were outnumbered 4-1, they still prevailed. But how can we relate to that in today's culture? Well, let me ask you another question. What does it mean to be an active citizen in 2024? Of course, the basic definition of active citizen is a person who gets involved in their community and the democratic process. So they vote in every election. They attend local school board or city council meetings, maybe even become an involved volunteer. But when you hear that description, you might think, well, I'm too busy for all of that. But what happens when Christians don't step in and take care of their communities and neighborhoods? The answer is pretty much what we're seeing around us, the chaotic and challenging circumstances in everyday life that might possibly be a result of a lack of active Christian citizens in the culture. Now, imagine what God can do if just a few more of us become involved. If that piques your interest, turn up the volume for today's program here on Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom with Gary Bauer.
Look, it's no secret, I hope, to any listener that God gave us all certain unalienable rights. Not government, God did that. They are clearly outlined in the Declaration of Independence. It's what makes America different from any other country in the world. Unfortunately, many of us may even take those rights for granted as we go about our daily lives. But our founding fathers, who were led by their deep faith in God, respect for human dignity, honor, and justice, they put their very lives on the line to establish a country where generations of Americans could enjoy the freedom that they fought so hard for. We're the beneficiaries of those sacrifices. In today's America, our God-given liberties are under attack by big government, powerful corporations, and a culture all too often hostile to faith, family, and freedom. We need warriors to step up in order to save this nation as one nation under God. And we are very fortunate today to have one of those warriors, our guest, John Stemberger. John is the president of the Liberty Council Action, and he's senior counsel for Liberty Council. He's also a civil trial lawyer with his own private practice. He's a busy guy. John, Dr. Dobson and his wife, Shirley, send you their best regards. It's a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Gary. It's great to see you again and to be with you on the show.
A big controversy in the church in the United States, and that is the split between those who, as Christians, believe we have a biblical obligation, particularly if you live in a free society and are blessed with the freedom of religion, to be an active citizen, to be involved in the process of choosing our leaders, and those that in our country today think that politics is dirty, Christians have nothing to do with it, we're not citizens of this world, we're citizens of the next, which in a big sense, of course, is ultimately true. But John, I can't think of a problem facing America that can be solved without Christians being at the table. Could you talk about that a little bit? How frustrating has it been for you over the years in Florida to get the church in Florida or churches involved in helping to pick the good leaders and good policies?
Yeah, so I think it's becoming increasingly challenging. It's partly because of bad theology. There's three reasons why pastors and churches don't think about these issues or engage in these issues. Number one is because they're scared of the IRS. I think that's the least issue now. I mean, more and more people understand that that's just a paper tiger. There's really nothing there. The IRS has never invoked anyone's tax status. In fact, churches don't even need a 501c3 letter. They're automatically 501c3. They're tax exempt from the foundation of the Republic under the First Amendment. So they don't even need that letter from the IRS.
Number two, so important.
Yeah. It's important. And that's not true for every nonprofit. That's only true for churches.
Yes.
Other nonprofits do need 501c3 letters. The second reason they don't engage is because of a bad theology. believing somehow that the church is an institution that shouldn't engage in culture, that it should be only focused on ecclesiastical matters, you know, and theology and this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then the third reason, I think, is because the blue-haired ladies in the congregation, the politics, right? If you mention one more time about that issue or that candidate, I'm going to pull my tithes. I think that is really the biggest thing is fear of the congregation, fear of man. Those issues, I think, are the predominant issues as to why pastors and churches don't engage. Mm-hmm. So we just need to have a certain courage, a certain resilience, if you will, to realize this is important enough that we need to be willing to, you know, offend or to, and that's what pastors should be doing is teaching and preaching and leading their people. They don't have to change their theology. They don't have to change their services. We just tell people, look, once every 2 years, you need to let people know there's an election. You have something to steward, right? It's like money. If you don't use your money correctly, your vote is something you should steward before God as a good citizen. So it's not a radical thing. It's just something we should incorporate. We should be full citizens, full human beings, full participants in society. It doesn't have to be a crazy radical thing. It's just something that we're being responsible here. If you don't talk about politics, if you don't talk about elections, you're not being responsible because it's a whole area of society. It's an area that God has dominion over and that wants, is cares about, that affects families, affects children, affects whether you have food on the table. All these things are affected by it. And so it's just an area of life that pastors need to say, this is a normal part of our church life. We're going to talk about elections every 2 years, and we're going to equip people with voter guides or whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. It just has to be a deal, right? It has to be something that's incorporated as a part of the life of the church.
I do think it's not funny, but it's revealing, John, that there are constant messages in our country urging people to get involved in the political process. You know, people want more young people to vote. They want more old people to vote. They want to make it easier to vote. They want to be able to have an election month or 2 months rather than an election day. So that's a constant message until a Christian says, we need to get more Christians involved. And then suddenly it's a threat to the Republic.
Right. Christian nationalism. Every election cycle, it's a new thing, right?
Yes.
Reconstructionist. It's theonomist. And now it's this year, it's the Christian nationalist. And it's just people that want to just engage in the process that happen to be people of faith. And again, they're trying to demonize all of us who are Christians trying to engage as citizens.
John, talking about, you know, good things happening and what can happen when Christians get involved. The state of Oklahoma, the legislature, after hearing from a whole lot of people, and what admittedly is a conservative state, but nonetheless, they did something which hasn't happened very many places, and that was voted to display the Ten Commandments in classrooms. Now, they were wise, I think, in creating a legislative record that said that the Ten Commandments are an historical document. They certainly have historical significance to the United States. But it's been interesting to see that the same forces that want to expose little five-year-olds to graphic sexual information are having a meltdown over the idea that some kid in a high school in Oklahoma might see "Thou shalt not kill."
It's unbelievable. The left sees religion and faith as some kind of bacterial infection, which their goal is to disinfect the whole region and make sure it doesn't affect anyone. It's just quite remarkable.
Do you think that could grow, this idea? I know that Texas and a couple of other states have thought about this Ten Commandments idea, and I believe your colleague, Matt Staver, has said that there's absolutely nothing wrong constitutionally with the display of the Ten Commandments. It's quite consistent with American history.
Yeah, so we just had a huge victory several years ago in the U.S. Supreme Court, something called the Lemon Test, Lemon v. Kurtzman. It's a famous case you learn about in law school, is dead now. It was a Lemon Test to determine whether something was in violation of the Establishment Clause. With that gone now, the new test really allows religious symbols to show. And that's what we should have, Gary. We should have an accommodation.
Yes.
Right? We should accommodate all faiths and have this kind of let the marketplace flourish, whether it's a creche or whatever it is, and let people decide what they're going to do. So I think that's a good thing. You know, as policy issues go, if you line them all up, the Ten Commandments is not the most urgent thing, but hey, it's a positive development in the right direction. It's a moral standard that is raised up in a public setting, so I think it's a great thing.
I'd be happy if the churches started putting up the Ten Commandments, and then we could move on to the schools, you know. So, We really do need to register. If we don't, then our places in the public square are taken by people that want to build a quite different country than the one we want.
You know, Gary, in the scripture, there's a lot of teaching about being submissive to the government and being submissive to civil leaders. Mm-hmm. Well, in our form, and that was written at a time where you had kings and basically monarchs running the show, where citizens really had no ability to affect anything. We live in a government, however, that is a government of and by and for the people. We are the government, like literally. And so it's our responsibility. If we don't participate, it is disobedience to the concept of the structure of what we're trying to do. Literally, you have to participate in order to have the kind of constitutional republic we have with a representative democracy. And so I think that, you know, we have to think about the fact that it's not just, oh, yes, I have to obey the government. We are the government, right? We can appeal. We can file appeals in courts. We can put people out of office. We have this system that's very dynamic. And so we read the scripture, we have to understand it in the context of an American republic that operates within this representative democracy.
Well, John, maybe I'm wrong, but I've always been struck that at the end of the day, you're an optimist in the good sense of that word. You're not foolish. You don't try to put a good gloss over everything. You're a realist. But I think as men and women of faith, we are supposed to be optimists. Can you give us a word of encouragement about whether we can still do things to make sure that America's best days are still ahead?
Yeah. So I go back to the point that I made at the opening, Gary, and it's that I really, over the years, have developed kind of a holy resilience to success and failure. When I succeed, when we win an election, I'm not so emotionally hyped up. And when we lose, I'm not emotionally depressed. I want to maintain a steady pace of just, you know what, I'm called to engage, and I'm just going to continue to it. As long as God's given me breath and a heartbeat, I'm going to continue to do what he's called me to do. And as believers, we need to have the same resilience. We shouldn't be depressed or try to gauge, are we winning or losing? We should just be engaged in doing the right thing in the context of what he's called us to do.
Mm. There's a lot to pray for America's families, for our country. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to lead us in a prayer as we think about and ponder the things you've shared with us the last 2 days.
Sure, I'd be honored. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for our life, the fact that we get to live and breathe and be alive in this moment in history. You could have caused us to be born in any time in history of the world, but yet you have caused each one listening to this show to live and move and have their being at this point in time. So, Father, help us to see our prophetic role in the time and place that we live. Give us wisdom. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us of our sins individually and collectively as a nation. Have mercy upon us, God. Help mercy upon us. Help this country to come back to its bearings, Father. Help them to love you more than they love themselves. We thank you for this great work that Dr. Dobson has birthed, and we pray continued prayers for his health and his longevity. Thank you for Gary. And Lord, we just ask that you go before us and give us protection and favor with each passing day. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Gary Bauer's conversation with attorney John Stemberger from the Liberty Council on today's edition of Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Now, the conversation went on much longer than this, nearly an hour in total. And if you'd like to hear the entire conversation, go to drjamesdobson.org/family talk and look for the programs featuring Gary Bauer and John Stemberger from the Liberty Council. Original air dates, August 19 and 20. And also, make sure you sign up for Gary's weekly newsletter from the James Dobson Policy Center, where Gary is the Senior Vice President of Public Policy. Be sure to join us again next week right here for another edition of Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast.